Praise the Lord. And let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this moment that you have brought us into again, even to hear from you. We pray that as we go through your word, as you will help us, pray that you take absolute control, speak to us and bless us by your mercy. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take absolute control as we hear from the Lord. Speak to us and bless us. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I welcome once again to another moment in the presence of God in the name of Jesus Christ. In the last talk, we started speaking about the danger of living at ease. Danger of living at ease, and we're using the case study of David, and I said that we are going to continue from there in the next talk, and then we'll actually continue from that point. Now, remember that we're looking at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. We read verse 1 down to verse 11. And by the grace of God, we saw what David did, what happened to David, and what he started to do. Bible says, just by way of reminder, Bible says that David had conquered places to the point that even the Syrians who came to help the Ammonites, they regretted their action, and finally felt that they will not help the Ammonites anymore because of the victory that David had over them. And the Bible says that it came to a point that David now decided to send Joab and the other soldiers to go and fight the Ammonites in Rabbah, that is at Rabbah rather. And he didn't go by himself, and that was the season, the Bible says, the season when kings go forth to war. David was resting. Let me say to you that when you begin to live at ease, you will begin to rest while you don't need to rest. Time of labor, which you are supposed to be in a serious labor, will be the time you will choose to rest. You will not be resting at the time of work in the name of Jesus. You will not be resting when you are supposed to be handling a particular crucial issue in the name of Jesus. Now, by way of reminder, I will read from verse 4 and end in verse 11 as we continue today. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, sent Uriah the Hittite, and Joab sent Uriah to David. Now I will jump to verse 8 now. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Let them go into my house to eat and to drink, and to lie with my wife. And thou, as thou livest, and as thou, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And God bless the reading of his word again in the name of Jesus. Now, let us look at a few things that show the danger of living at ease. We saw that when David, the Bible says, the year expired. After the years, that David had victory had expired, after the years have passed, and he began to feel secure, to feel safe, a victor has come. It was as if when those years, that year that he had victory over the Ammonites and the Syrians, it's as if when that year expired, he began to also expire with the years of his victory. I pray that your victory will not have an expiration. Your victory will not have an expiry date, rather. Your victory, you will not live. After your victory, as an expired man, you will not expire because of your victories. You will not expire with the years of your victory. You will not expire because the years, your tough years, your years of hardship, your years of terrible attacks have gone. Because things are becoming easier and better for you. And the years of hardship have passed. You will not expire by the expiration of your of the years of hardship over your life. May you not be very serious only because you are passing through difficulty. May you not become committed and dedicated because there is a serious issue that if you are not connected and committed to God, the devil will finish you. Don't be committed in that way. May you be a constant victor who is always in connection with the source of victory, even when you are in victory. May you not be satisfied. May you not be complacent because of your seeming victories. May you not begin to rest because you see victory, because you see success, because you see progress. Then you relax because of the progress you have seen. May you continue to move for more of grace, to go for more of grace, to go for more of mercy, to go for more of commitment, dedication, to go for more of consecration, to go for more of divine touch on a daily basis, even when you are swimming in victory. Let me tell you, there are some of you, you are very serious, you are very committed, you are so dedicated to God because something is pressing you. But let that thing pass. Your dedication will also pass. Your commitment, your zeal, all of that will begin to pass. May you not expire because of the expiration of your hardship. May pressure not be the only thing that put you under pressure to serve God, to be dedicated to God, to be committed to God, to be consecrated in life. May God help us in Jesus' name. The Bible says, as those years of serious attack expired, he seemingly began to expire. May you not come to a point that you expire because things are getting easier. In those days, you were able to pray and fast because you find things difficult. Even to feed is difficult, so you can easily fast. But now, you cannot fast because there's abundance of food. You are expiring gradually. Because you are a Christian that you have a lot of needs to talk to God, to tell God, and so you are so committed, you are so consecrated, you are so dedicated because you have a need. But now that the need has been met, how far is your relationship with God? If that relationship is maintained, then we know you as a true and not a fake child of God. May you not be proved as fake when the time of abundance comes, as the years of your lack pass. May the passing away of your years of lack not introduce the coming in of your failure in terms of connectivity and also fellowship with God. Now, the Bible says, now, in order not to continue to dwell there, he slept with this woman. How did he do it? He sent, as I said last time, he sent for the woman came. Of course, the two of them were in the same place. If you read this thing, Basic English Bible, you will see He took her down to his bedroom to discuss with her. The woman who was the wife of one of his servants. Can you see how David, came so low, he brought himself so low to the point that even his servant's wife became a woman to sleep with. Now, when you begin to go out to experience ease in your life, ease in everything, and you have relaxed in your relationship with God, you know what? You begin to come down. When David, the Bible says, he left his bed and looked down, and as his eyes were down, something began to pull him down. You cannot look up to God and not go upward. And at the same time, you cannot begin to look down onto the world system and not go down with the world. So he slept with the woman. Now, look at what happened. The Bible says, and the woman returned to her house after David met with this woman. And he slept with this woman. The woman went back to her house. What happened? She met a man after she has purified, washed herself. She was going as a clean woman, but she was returning as a defiled woman who has committed adultery. I say it again. When people meet you, how do they return? When men meet you in a particular state, in bad shape, do they return in good shape? In the case of David, because he began to be at ease when Bathsheba met him at her return, she was returning as a defiled woman that has committed what? Adultery. When people meet you, what do you leave with them? When people come in touch with you, how do they return back to where they are coming from? How do they return back to where they came from? By meeting you. I pray for you. You will not be a spoiler of men because you have spoiled from inside. Do you remember when David arose from that his bed? Do you know that he arose without the presence of God? He arose as an empty man and brought the woman. His bed, which is supposed to be the bed of fellowship with God, If you read the book of Song of Solomon, you will see the what the bride and the bride, the bride and the groom have, I mean, the conversation, the discourse, conversation between the bride and the bridegroom. You see the fellowship even on the bed and things like that. If you read the verse very carefully, talking about Christ and the church and so on. But now, in this case, David, his bed of fellowship, his bed of meditation, his bed of relationship with God, or of relationship, ended up becoming the bed of immorality. Now you see, if a man is in total what? Ease of life, you know what? That man will become so terrible that even getting in contact with him, defilement can be quickly contracted. David, from that bed, which is supposed to be a bed of communion with God and even with his wife, became a bed of immorality. The things that enter into his heart became so different from the purpose of God for his life. May the devil not find an occasion to put something that will damage your entire story in life in Jesus' name. Now look at what the Bible says. After the woman returned home from her relationship with David, after she returned home, something had happened inside her. The Bible says, and the woman conceived. Immediately she met with David, David dropped a seed inside her. David caused her to be conceived of a child. The other version, which you read the other day, say he became pregnant with child. Let me ask you, when men meet with you, what do they become? And then, when men meet with you, what do you cause them to conceive? Do you cause them to conceive something for generations to come? Do you cause the activation of their destinies to be conceived? Now listen. The woman conceived. When David received the woman in his room, the woman at the end conceived something. Let me say to you, the people that you receive What do you cause them to conceive? And let me say to you the other way around. The people that receive you, that you allow yourself to be with them, that interact with you, that receive you, that you also receive, what do they cause you to conceive? What do you cause them to conceive? There are people that when they receive you, they end up causing you to conceive perpetual hatred for another person. The only thing they bring down to you is they begin to discuss another person, and it is only the evil, bad side of that person they discuss. At the end, you become an unnecessary enemy to the other man who doesn't even know anything about what you know, which may even be a lie. The person may be so free to you, but yet you have conceived what? Enmity for nothing's sake. Why? Because you have met a man that has put something evil that you have conceived in your heart. Let me ask you. As a child of God, as a man of God, as a servant, as a child of God, male or female as you may be, when men meet you, what do you cause them to conceive? Remember, that woman had what it takes to conceive, but she was not going to conceive until she had met with a man. Did you hear me? Women, they don't take in, they don't conceive anything, they don't get pregnant on their own. They get pregnant by meeting with somebody, a male, that is going to drop a seed into her. And then, what it will take for that seed to germinate, to be fertilized, is inside them. Now, let me ask you. When you meet somebody, what do you drop into the person that will cause the person to conceive? Do you activate, as a child of God, as a man of God, as a woman of God, do you help people to activate their spirit, their vision? Do you help in the activation of men's visions and destinies? When they meet with you, when people meet with you, do they meet with destiny activators and vision promoters? Or do they meet with killers of death, of vision and destiny destroyers? Whom do they meet? What seed did you sow into them before they leave you? Don't leave a man in a worse shape compared to how he met you. This is the danger of living at ease. Looking at David here, he became a sower of the seeds of immorality. The woman conceived. Let me tell you, people that come to meet with you have capacity to conceive from you. And it is determined by what you cause them to receive from you. When men receive something from you, what does that thing they receive cause them to conceive? David's reception of Bathsheba in his room, in his bedroom, caused the conception of Bathsheba. What does your reception cause men to conceive? When they meet with you, the Bible says, and the woman conceived. She became pregnant with child. Now let's move further. The danger of this living and this. Now, the Bible says, and she sent, she told the king. The Bible says, she sent and told David and said, I am with child. What did David do? Now, you should know that it can be that very day that the woman will discover she is with child. It would have taken some time. Now it means that between the time that David slept with her and the time that she sent that message to David, David was still wallowing in that situation. David was out of the presence of God, the danger of this. David had never thought of returning back to God. After that, he sent that message. It was then David's eye began to see the gravity of what he has done. And what was the next option? How am I going to handle this? What was David planning? Cover up. David was planning cover up. How do I conceal this thing that this woman has conceived? I pray for you. You will not be struggling in the place of concealing a thing that you have caused to be conceived. Because you know that if men will hear this, you would have fallen from grace to disgrace. A life of ease can cause a man to fall from grace to disgrace. So he began to think, and you know, as the enemy will have it, you always have a suggestion and a solution. In quote, sir, send for Joab. Bring him. Make him to go and sleep with her. And then, that pregnancy will just be tied to him. Simple. That's how to do it. And imagine, even if David has succeeded in doing that to Uriah, and Uriah went and slept with the wife, and Uriah had gone to sleep with the wife and everything like that, does that change the fact that that child was David's handwork? No. Even if everybody in the world did not know that David was the one that did this, God was looking at it. It would have left David with a permanent matter sealed up until the end of the day. You would have been going about with a concealed matter and a permanent wound. I pray. You will not be living a life of concealing and concealing and concealing. That child that one woman is taking care of, that is your child, and you know, and probably you are even a man of God. And when the woman comes and brings the child, you even try to cover it up. He don't want people to know. But the truth of the matter is that God is aware. And the woman is aware. And you too, you are aware that this is your child. And because you don't want people, you don't want to be disgraced in the midst of the people because you have grown high. Let me tell you, that does not change the mind of God. What you have concealed will still be opened up. Now, there is nothing covered that will not be uncovered. Now, this man David, he covered up. He wanted to cover up. What about that money? Let me ask you, servant of God, child of God, what about that money that in the office you signed a particular paper, and that paper you just added 10 at the end. And by adding that 0, you have multiplied it by 10 so that you have the remaining one. In fact, you have ended up having 9 parts, because what is needed is just one part of it. And because you have added 10, 9 parts of that money have become yours. And you took the money and even paid tithe of that money. And went and did a very big thing. You bought a very big thing. And you went and gave testimony of what you say God has done. Remember, heaven is looking at you. It is a concealed matter that is still there, waiting for you. Even if it is not revealed, the end of the age, when the roll is cut off yonder, it will be uncovered. It will be made known. Because the day of revealing will come. The Bible says, David, what did David do? David sent so that Uriah should come. What was he planning? That thing. Let him go and sleep with him. And when Uriah came, the Bible says, came to David's house, place. What is going on? You see, they made him to drink and get drunk. So that he would know what was going on, what he was doing. Did they cause him to drink and to drink? I can imagine Uriah saying, how this sudden favor, cover of favor? How this sudden reception, what have I done? Different from every other soldier. But you know what? Even after I had made him drunk, the man was still having his senses, because his mind was in the field. What's that thing you are doing to cover up? Now, I will not go into how that man was handled, but he refused to go home. Now, let us see something that happened before we try to finally pray. Look at what the Bible says in verse 7. The Bible says, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him. What did he say? How demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. What is it? When Uriah arrived, David still did cover up. What is the cover up? As if he was concerned about the people. As if what brought him, what brought Uriah, what he brought Uriah for. Instead of him having brought this man, this innocent man, instead of him to say to him, I'm sorry, I slept with your wife. That's not what he did. He tried to do something that will cover what he has done. And you know, no matter how you cover something that is evil, it will wake up to destroy your future. Now, what was it? What did David say? How is Joab? How are the people? How is the war going? But if you check even that issue from what the Bible says in verse 7, you will discover that there was still something that was lacking. What did David ask of? He asked of Joab, he asked of the people, he asked of the war generally. That was a man that has lost focus. Do you know what? You will know that David has lost focus even from this verse 7. As we read the response of Joab at the end of the day. You know, after Joab responded to all that, he made him drunk, and they refused to go to his house. Uriah refused to go to his house to lie with his wife and all of that. But do you know what? David now said to him, why not go home? What was the response of Uriah in verse 11? Let's check verse 11. Let's jump to verse 11 so that we can conclude. You see, and Uriah said unto David, listen to the response of Uriah. The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my wife? And so on and so forth. Did you hear? Now, if you read at what David said, David said in verse 7, how's Joab? How are the people? How is the war going? But look at the response of Uriah. The response of Uriah became a great challenge to me here. I thought Uriah will follow the way David asked him that question immediately after he arrived. He said, David said to him, how about Joab? How about the people? How about the war? But look at what this man said here. He said the ark. Israel, Judah, they are all abiding in tents. It was after he spoke about the ark, the nation of Israel, and Judah, that he now mentioned Joab and the servants of David. You understand? If you look at David, what Uriah spoke on towards the end concerning the people that are at the war front, concerning what was going on at the war front, what David said first was what he said last. May God grant us understanding. The emphasis, let me put it that way, of David became what Uriah even mentioned last. As far as the people, as far as the war front was concerned, he asked of Joab and the people, but Uriah, look at what Uriah said. The first thing Uriah said, how can I go to my house? He said unto David, he said, the ark and Israel and Judah, they are abiding in tents. It was later he mentioned Joab and the servants of the king. Are you getting me? Now, you will see, let me say number one, Uriah was more detailed and more meticulous at this point in time compared to David. Where did David lose his consciousness of the ark of God? Where did David lose his consciousness of the entire nation of Israel to start talking about Joab before talking about the other people? The ark became the bone of contention, the very great thing in the heart of Uriah, more than the heart of David. I pray you understand what we are talking about at this point in time. Why Uriah was so concerned about the ark, David forgot to mention anything about the ark of God. Why? Because he has lost the presence of God. How can he mention about the ark while God has left? The danger of being at ease is that you will lose the consciousness of the presence of God. You know, that the ark was the figure of the presence of God in the midst of his people. Wherever the people were going, they would go with the ark to the battle in order to gain victory. But the real instrument, the instrument that God was using to bring victory, which was actually the figure of his presence, David lost his memory. He lost memory of it. Do you understand? Can you see the fact that David could not lay emphasis anymore on the presence of God because he was alien to it? Why Joab was so conscious of the presence of God, David was no longer conscious of that. The danger of living at ease is that you will lose. One great danger is that you will lose consciousness of the presence of God. Remember, the ark was what they were carrying about. And you know, that in that ark was contained the testimony. In that ark was contained the tables of stone, the testimony that was in, they were inside that ark. What God was saying to them that became the instrument of the covenant over his people was inside that ark. So, but David lost his consciousness of that testimony of covenant, that ark of covenant, he lost it. Let me see that. What God is saying to you, the testimony of God over your life, may you not begin to forget about it. The terms of the covenant, the terms of the promises of God for your life, may you not lose consciousness of it. May you not come to a point, you are so victorious, you are so prosperous, you have your breakthrough, you have gone very far, to the point that you now begin to lose consciousness of the terms of the promises of God for your life. There are people, because God has prospered them, what the word of God say, they begin to lose consciousness of it. And before you know it, the fear of God begins to disappear in their life. They begin to put hand into what they are not supposed to put hand, as if they are now their gods on themselves. They lose the fear of God. They lose their place in the consciousness of divine instructions. What God said, don't do. They will lose that consciousness of it and begin to do it. Enter here, put hand here, put hand there, put hand there, put hand there, put hand there, put hand there. Because why? They have forgotten the ark of God's presence. When a man walks in the presence of God, he walks in the consciousness of his instructions. The tables of stone that were inside the ark were God's instructions for Israel, the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you, are you conscious of God's instruction? If you are not conscious of God's instruction, his construction over your life will begin to be mad. You begin to destroy what he has started to construct. May you not lose his instruction, so that you will not lose his construction. In the name of Jesus Christ. He lost consciousness of the ark. So what God was saying, the terms of the covenant, he lost it in his heart. But this servant of his, who was even a Hittite, who was now in Israel, how he became part of Israel, we don't even know. But one thing, he became part of Israel and even an army of Israel fighting other nations. Yet that one had the consciousness of the Ark of Covenant of Israel than the one born in Israel and even became the king of Israel. Oh, I pray for you that you will not be in church and even become a great man in church, but someone who is just born again, who came from somewhere far away, who is just born again a few days ago, have more grip of the fear of God's instruction, fear of God's word, fear of God, than you who has grown high. Now, because you feel that you are now mature, you are now beginning to take some instructions for granted. But that one is taking God's instruction seriously, more than you. I pray it shall not be your portion. You will be a director unto God's instruction for men's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. David lost grip of God's instruction, but this Hittite, who was now in Israel, can I say nationalized as an Israelite, was still having the grip of that. The ark. You see the ark. You know that it was in the ark of God. That was where the mercy seat covered. It covered the mercy seat, covered it. Remember? The mercy seat covered the place. Covered it. And the cherubims were above the testimony. They covered the mercy seat. Remember, the mercy seat covered the testimony, and the cherubims covered the mercy with their wings. Now, the issue is this. Do you now see that even the consciousness of the mercy of God disappeared from David? David has gone very far. But this man, was in tune with God. I say, what about the ark? I can't. The ark of God and the entire nation of Israel and Judah. No, I can't. They are somewhere else, they're out there. In tents and so on and so forth. No. See, they abide in tents. Job and their servants. And the servants of my Lord, they are in the open fields. How can I be in my house enjoying myself? No. Can you imagine that? You can now see that David's scale of preference, the priority. The priority of David is upside down. Or can I say it's the reversal of the real priority of God for Israel at that time. What David was more conscious of was the reversal of what God was conscious of. May you not become a disappointment to heaven, so that what we emphasize on, let not what you emphasize on become a non-issue to God. What David began to emphasize on was even the last thing Uriah mentioned. Let me say to you, child of God, servant of God, what is the emphasis of your life now? What is the emphasis of your pursuit now? What is the bone of your pursuit in this time, at this time in your life? Are you more conscious of the pursuit of the presence of God? Or you are more conscious of the pursuit of your job, secular job? As far as David was concerned, how is the war? How is Joab? How are the people? But the presence of God was not his concern. A man that his concern was a reverted one. How can I say an inverted concern? You know how something is inverted? Inverted concern. Danger of is inversion of concern. I pray that your ease will not invite something that will invert your scale of concern in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Finally, as we go to the place of prayer, this man refused. David was very, very shabby. I mean, undetailed in his dealing with that man. But the man was too conscious and he was detailed in his reasoning for the war. Let me tell you, when you begin to be at ease, there you begin to major on the minor and lose the major. You will no more become detailed in your handling of issues. Because what has come into you is a different thing altogether. May God help us in Jesus' name. Now, as I go to conclude, remember we read to verse 11. The man said, how can I go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? Say, as you live, and as you live, and as thy soul live, I will not do this thing. That was the man who was not prepared to compromise. David brought Uriah, but David wanted him to compromise, but he could not. David became an agent of what? Compromise. When he became a man at ease, he became an agent of compromise. When men meet with you, what happens to them finally? Can you cause them to be more serious in the things of God, in terms of the fear of God, to have more grip of the fear of God? I mean, do you push them onto more of obedience for God? Do you cause them to know the danger of disobedience? Or you just talk with them and lure them to begin to compromise? There are people, when they come to you, they come with sincerity of heart. By the time they leave you, they leave with a mind that is now loose. You know, when they come to you and say, man of God, look at my problem. You say, in those days, when I was young like you, like you people, this is, of course, that is what happened. But it's not like that. I've grown to understand that God is not as bad, as terrible as that. God is not as dangerous as that. You only tell him about the love of God. You tell the person about the grace of God. You tell the person that God is merciful. But you don't tell the person that God is a consuming fire. You don't show him the danger involved in compromise. I mean, in doing certain things. So instead of him to go with the spirit of the fear of God, you go with a loose spirit that is now devoid of the real fear of God. Maybe something he wants to do, which is supposed to have discouraged him. You say, well, now, you know, it is not so. It is not so. Don't be too harsh on yourself. In the name of holiness and spirituality, don't be too harsh on yourself. God understands. God knows. Don't worry yourself. God is interested in your well-being. He's interested in your prosperity. He's interested in your making it in life. So don't allow this opportunity pass you by. Opportunity opportunity that perforates a man. Opportunities that can perforate a man from real divine performance. May God help us in Jesus' name. David became an agent of compromise. But Uriah refused to compromise. Those people that come to you, when they are leaving you because you have become a man of ease, what else happens to them? Don't they go back compromising? And let me also tell you, child of God, the men you meet, watch out. Do they at least leave you intact in the fear of God? Do they facilitate obedience in your life? Do they facilitate consecration in your life? Do they facilitate relationship between you and your God in your life? As you begin to go close to them, does the heat of God's presence, does the heat of consecration, does the heat of God's obedience and the fear of God, does it heat your life? What heat hits you when you meet a man? And let me ask you, man of God, what is that heat that hits a man that comes in contact with you? David became an agent of compromise. I pray for you that you will not become a compromiser and an agent of compromise, even as men meet with you. I think I will stop at this point because of our time. But we still continue from here in the next talk. May I maybe try to conclude. For this moment, I want to say, may God help us that will not live at ease even in Zion. May God help us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. The danger of ease, we have spoken about it a bit today again. We pray that you will help us. And what happened to David, and what David began to impact, so to say, what he began to impact at that time, what he fell into at that time, it will not be our portion in Jesus' name. As we are living at this, as we are stopping at this point, help us, even as we try to come back again, so that we will conclude from this passage of Scripture. You will help us. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you.